Hey, everybody, you're about to hear a great conversation Leon and I had on Faith Together with some of our friends here at Olivet as we share how we can serve others locally and globally. Antonio Marshall, Esther Turek, and Simone Twybull join us for this conversation. And as you can imagine, with five of us in the room, we had a lot to talk about. So this first episode is part one, all about serving locally and globally. Enjoy, and we'll have part two in the following week.
Welcome back to the Faith Together podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We are in the middle of a wonderful series called Living Out the Shema. If this is your first time with us today, we encourage you to go back and listen to our earlier episodes as we walked our way through the challenge of Deuteronomy to live out our faith at home and away from home. So we continue our series today as we begin a focus on looking at serving God locally and abroad. Lindsay, it's good to be with you today.
You too, Leon. And I'm thrilled to have this conversation today. And before we jump in, I just want to remind everyone of a little giveaway we have going on. So don't forget to jump on our website, Center for Faith and Family, and to enter into the survey. And as you complete the survey, you will be put into a drawing for four tickets to Locavore Farm for their family feast this summer.
And we learned all about Locavore Farm on an earlier podcast.
Yes, a few episodes ago. So if you don't know about Locavore Farm here in Kankakee County and are interested in spending a night out on the farm with your family, just connecting, having a great time, you can listen in on that episode. But if you go to our website, centerff.com, and fill out that survey, you'll be entered into a drawing for four tickets to one of their family feasts this summer. And also, Rachel and her husband, Chris Jones, out there at Locavore have graciously agreed to give a discount code to any Locavore events for the rest of this month. So that discount code is CFF24.
And let me add to the drawing that if you've already participated, you've already signed up for one of our drawings before, you're automatically included in this one.
Yeah. Right? So if you filled the survey out already, you are in this next drawing. So you get a chance at both.
Yeah. So we had a wonderful winner from our previous drawing for those tickets for
the movie
Fandango and the gift card.
Yes.
So this is our second. So if you already signed in for that first one, you're good for the second one.
Absolutely. So join us. We'd love to have you a part of that giveaway.
So let's review just a little bit of the episodes that we've done in this series, Lindsay.
Yeah. I've loved this series.
So we started with storytelling, right?
Storytelling.
After we kind of set the tone for what the Shema is all about and what it challenges us to. And if you're not sure what the Shema is all about, we really encourage you to go back to that first episode of this series where we really walked through what all that means. So we did. We talked about the importance of storytelling. And then we talked about prayer, spent a lot of time talking about prayer. That was a really good episode. And then we did a couple episodes on mealtimes.
Yeah, we kind of looked at these everyday times that we have with our kids and with those that we love that we can, I like to say, redeem that time, be intentional with that time. So we talked about mealtimes. We talked about drive time, so time in the car. We've also talked about bedtime.
Yeah, and we had a guest for bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good, a mom that shared with us. Thank you, Jenna, for doing that for us.
Yeah, that was great. And April came and talked with us about drive time.
That's
and
right.
How you can go to and from and connect with different, you know, ages and stages of your kids while you're in the car. So those were great topics. And we really wanted to focus more, Leon, on things you can do at home, but then also things you can do away from home to have everyday faith conversations.
So that was kind of the drive time, was the away from home. And then we talked about faith milestones as well.
Oh my goodness, we did. That was such a fun roundtable discussion.
And then today we're talking about how to be involved in living life together by serving.
Yes. So we're really talking about away from home today.
Yeah. So local, serving locally, serving globally.
Yeah.
So what's your experience with that?
So my experience is twofold. So personally, growing up, I grew up in a ministry family. My parents were bivocational pastors. And so we did a lot of serving together just in our everyday lives. And my brother and I just knew that was how life was. And so when we went to school and we saw that others weren't serving in their local community, we thought it was very strange because it was just all we knew. What that looked like for us specifically was that our home was always a home where people could come and have dinner, and we had several people that lived with us. So hospitality was a huge value in our home. My parents had a phrase that was, our door is always open. You know, we always want to welcome others into our home and share meals with them to step into their lives at certain times. So I would say locally, it really looked like doing life with different families that had maybe just had a start to their faith journey, or maybe didn't really know the Lord, but they came to know the Lord through those experiences. So those were really formational for me.
That's really great.
Yeah.
And then, I didn't have that kind of formation early on. So I had to learn that as an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is something that my brother and I are so grateful for that our parents instilled in our family, because it's just second nature to us. And we know that that's not always the case. And it can be a struggle to open up your home and to interact with people in that way. And so while there were struggles to it, we had a lot of people coming in and out of our home throughout the years. We learned a lot from it, and I'm thankful for it. And then globally, Leon, I'd say most of my experiences globally have been centered around orphan care. Just from a very young age, I've always had a heart for the orphan and for the one that was forgotten and needed support, whatever that looked like. And so I've done some travel to the Dominican Republic, Costa Rica, serving different orphanages there, doing VBSs, serving meals, helping paint different centers of hope for those people wherever they were. And then have had another experience where they weren't specifically orphaned physically from their families, but they were orphaned spiritually, in that we went to Eastern Europe, to the Czech Republic, and we were a part of some children's English camps where we taught these children English. And then that was the first half of the day. And then we would share the gospel with them the second half of the day. And it was amazing to see them interact with Jesus for the first time and share that with their families. So those have been my main highlights of global service, which I'm so thankful for.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, as I said, I didn't kind of grow up with that. So my wife and I are pretty social people. So early on in our ministry, we started having people in our homes quite a bit as we were able to. And now coming to Olivet and being in a very kind of different environment here, that has really taken on a whole new form. So we have lots of students in our home quite often, and there's just something about serving in that environment and the relationships that are built in that environment. I think as a professor, I'm a better professor when I know my students. I think my students are better students when they know me as a professor. And I just think there's some just real benefits of that. So that's one of the ways that we have started serving, my wife and I, in our home.
I love that. I think that makes such a big difference, you know, being a part of residential life here on campus. When students feel like you know their name and that you sit down and just look at them eye to eye, it's amazing.
Yeah. As far as when I was in ministry and providing opportunities for parents and kids to do this, we would do things like preteen. We did it like a district. So all the Nazarene churches in our area, all the preteens would come together. We go to one location, spend the night, and then serve the community all day, teaching them about serving. We always did a leaf raking weekend for my kids at my church, for people in our church that were homebound.
Yeah, I love that.
And then, of course, churches have things like serve days and things like that. And I think one of the things we want to emphasize, whatever that means of service may be, that you do together as a family. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of mission trips are like for adults.
Right.
I love to see those mission trips where you bring your family and you go and you serve together because of what the kids are learning from that experience. But I also do believe in adult mission trips.
Yeah.
And so as you know, I'm getting ready to take my 10th team to Tanzania.
Incredible.
This May. And it's just... the people of Tanzania stole my heart the first time I stepped foot on their land. I just keep going back because we've built relationships with churches there, and we get an opportunity to serve, and then we get to see the fruit of the work we do, which is wonderful.
It's wonderful to have that ongoing relationship with them.
Yeah, and in a selfish way, the reason I keep going back is from because of what I get from it. It's not just that I go to serve, and I do that, but the truth is there's something that happens within me that's not quantifiable because of my time with them.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty significant. So I've been now to Tanzania. This will be number 10.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. I like to say whenever I have a chance to serve, whether it's here in my local community, but especially abroad, there's something that the Lord does in just opening up your heart in a new way. Like there's parts of your heart you didn't even realize were there, and you are able to interact with him and receive, you know, whatever it might be from that experience in ways that you wouldn't in your own world and in your own perspective. So I love that, Leon. I think that's so important. And today we're going to talk with some special guests with us about serving locally and globally even more.
Yeah. So it's really great when our listeners have an opportunity to not have to just listen to our voices.
Yes. We have a lot more voices to add to the mix today.
So we've got some friends with us today, and we're kind of approaching this kind of like we're sitting at a table in Starbucks. The only downside is I don't have a cup of coffee with me, and there's not any background noise. But we've got three friends with us today, and I'd like to just introduce them to you, and then I'm going to give you all a chance to tell us a little bit about yourself. Okay? So Dr. Simone Twible is with us. She is our missiologist at Olivet, which means she teaches our courses in missions, and she's got a great story, and I'll let her get into that, so I'm not going to steal that from her. But we're glad that she is with us. And then Miss Esther Tuick, who oversees the Shalom Project at Olivet, which Olivet's, well, they do more than this, but it's Olivet's mission arm. Mm-hmm. So it works through student development at Olivet that helps students get connected with mission opportunities. And so she oversees the trip that I will be leading with my students this summer.
Awesome.
And then Reverend Antonio Marshall, who is our university chaplain and a very, very, very good friend. Not that the others are not, but Antonio and I have spent a lot of time together. He is known affectionately on campus as Tone.
Yes.
And he's been with me to Tanzania a couple times, and he's going with me again this summer.
Wonderful.
So I'm really excited about that. So welcome to all of you. Just say hi.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Don't
right.
be shy.
All right. I know. Simone, let's start with you. So tell us just a little bit, tell us about your family, but then tell us a little bit about how you ended up in this missiology field.
So I grew up in Brazil, was born there into a missionary family. And then we moved to Argentina, lived there, grew up. My dad was a pastor in the Nazarene Church. And then we moved around all over South America, Venezuela, and other places. And so I grew up really knowing the mission field as the child of missionaries. And so even when I was 7 years old, the Lord placed a call in my life, and I wanted to become a missionary. And so little did I know I would be a missionary in the United States. And so I came and I attended Olivet 20 years ago, a little bit. Yeah, I won't tell you how old I am. But and then I just felt a call to the ministry and became a pastor in Kentucky, of all places. Talk about a mission field. And so then my husband and I co-pastored for about 7 years. And then we moved back into this area, and I really felt like I wanted to pursue further my studies in missions, since that was the heart of my calling. And then I went to school and got my PhD in intercultural studies, and I've been here at Olivet teaching for 7 years already.
Wow.
And so it's been so fun, such a journey of growing up in the mission field and now preparing the next generation to go out into the mission field.
Yeah. So I remember when you were a student.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We won't talk about how old you are then.
No, right. Yes, that's right. That's right. Tell us a little bit about your family.
So my, and being South America, when we talk about a family, we begin with the extended family, right? Like those who, my parents and my grandparents. And so they are, my dad is from Argentina, my mom is from Brazil. They don't speak English, but they wanted us, my sister and I, to really further our education. And so my twin sister and I came to Olivet, and then she went back to South America. I decided to stay here because I got married to an wonderful American man. And then now I have two children, Lucas and Sophia. My husband passed away about 4 years ago from brain cancer. And he was very well known in this area. He was the pastor at Kankakee First Church of the Nazarene. So the Lord has been faithful to help us during these years. This journey has not been easy, but the Lord's goodness and faithfulness has been our shield and our strength. And so, so that's part of my story.
Yeah. I miss Andrew. Mm-hmm. So, and your children are a part of the ministry where I serve.
Yeah.
So Sophia and Lucas are pretty wonderful. So thank you. We're glad you're here with us. We're going to hear more from you in a little bit. Miss Esther, share with us a little bit about your family.
Okay. Well, let's see. I am married to a wonderful man named Ken. He's actually a pastor here locally at Life Compass Church. I have four children, and we run the gamut as far as ages. So I have Cole, who is 20, Ava, who's 18, Jace, who just turned 16, and then Alexa, who is 9. I know when we talk about like missions and serving locally and globally, I had a very similar background to both Lindsay and Simone, in that our family has missions has just been sort of the way that we do life. My grandparents actually were missionaries in India. They lived in India, but the way that India is situated, if you move from one part of the country to another, you're going to a totally different language and culture. And so my grandparents were missionaries they were from the southern part of India, and they moved all by themselves to the northern part of India and became missionaries. And so my dad grew up in that environment. And then my parents both moved to the States actually when they were young adults. And they are pastors as well. So growing up in that home taught me so much of what I've learned to this day. It was not something that you did. It was something of who you were. And that was just the beautiful, rich environment that I was able to grow up in. So that's a blessing.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I think, Leon, when I hear Simone and Esther, you both talking about just your backgrounds and how this has always been a part of your life, I think that's why we're having this conversation today,
right?
You know, because it's never too early to begin serving with your family together.
Yeah, because those things will stay with their children, as is evidenced by this panel.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, on to Tone.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm on the other end of that. I'm a recipient of a pastor who saw his life as a missionary. And so my family, mom and dad, both met each other after not knowing their fathers. So I do not know either one of my grandfathers. So I don't have a real history of faith or even really men in the household. And both of my parents had four kids. So I'm number 3 of 4. Me and my wife, O'Malley, I met her while I was at Olivet. We have 3 boys, Daxton, Barrow, and Haynes, and we have 1 on the way. But part of my journey to even coming to Olivet, becoming the chaplain, was that a local church pastor named Larry Latham, he was a pastor of a very small Nazarene church, Jordan Village Church of the Nazarene, around 17 people, I like to joke, and 6 of the 17 were me and my family.
Wow.
We were the only children's ministry. We were the only youth ministry. And so he actually saw my family in a roach-infested motel and invited us to live in a trailer of his for cheap. And then he started inviting us to church. And he pulled the prank that most pastors do. We thought he was just a landlord. And me and my brothers went to church with him one day, and he sat us in the pews and walked up to the pulpit. And he's been our pastor for the last 25 years.
Wow.
So it's kind of how I find myself here, because of a missionary.
That's awesome.
Yeah, what a story. Well, we want to just share a little bit of what serving locally and globally has looked like for each of you. If you could just give us a few snapshots of how God has led you to serve others and maybe what he's taught you through some of those experiences. So Esther, do you mind starting off for us?
Sure. I know I didn't get to mention this, but I have the privilege of leading the Shalom Project at Olivet Nazarene University, which is sort of the missions and service arm. And so part of the reason to saying yes to that position was this deep heart for the idea that we can serve in our community outside of our neighborhoods, as well as going in domestically or globally. And part of that, I think, calling that was placed on my life was placed as a young child as well because of the experiences that I was given to see what it looked like to have people come into our home, that my parents' doors were wide open as pastors and people who lived with us from different cultures and backgrounds, and also just see the way that they engaged in their community by serving in whatever capacity that they could. And they never made it as though when we were kids, like it was a burden to bring us along. It was just, this is what we do. And so that for me gave me such a great example of how now with my own children, how we say, okay, how do we engage in our community in ways that just show love to others. And it's not something that we have to set aside to do, but every opportunity that we get to do, we do that together. And I think that's a big part of understanding as families that to not sort of disassociate adult servanthood from what we do with our families, and that they see it, that they're as equally important in serving together. I think that's been huge for us.
Thank you, Esther. I feel like exactly what you said, what I'm hearing you say anyway, is that, you know, this serving locally, serving globally, serving right where you are is just a part of everyday life. It's a part of who you are. And that's very much what we're talking about in this series, that we want to listen, you know, the word, the Shema, we want to live our whole lives for what God is doing in and around us. So I think that's a beautiful, beautiful example of that. So Tone, can you tell us a little bit about how you've been led to serve others now and what it looks like for you as university chaplain, but also how that has impacted your faith journey? Yep. Since being called here at Olivet?
Yeah, I think it actually started at Kankakee First Church, where I came to Christ, and Leon was a huge part of that as the basketball team chaplain. And then one of the things that was really on my heart was to see other people who didn't know Christ come to know him. And so I started attending Life Compass Church, and they have a real heart for the community there in Kankakee and around the area. And so it was just that played a huge part on my development as a Christian early on. I moved to Grand Rapids to be a family pastor. God called me there. And it was while I was there that I began to start a ministry called Man on Fire. I was already doing some basketball training and things like that before, but it was through that ministry, Man on Fire, and in the church there in Grand Rapids, a very multicultural church, that I really started to learn about serving different people from different communities, and really the heart of God for the lost and the broken, and to see youth, in particular for me, to see youth who don't have a church, who don't have home, that faith in the home to come to know him. And so it was in those days that the Lord really started to impart this work of missions. And then I came back to Olivet to be the chaplain. And one of the reasons why I've been so excited is because I get to go back to Tanzania, where I've been able to see God work globally. But another reason is because of the unique opportunity to lead the next generation of leaders who are going to go out. Really, when you think about college, it really is an opportunity to help in missions, because you are serving leaders who will then go out and disperse and go and really serve the world. So that has shaped me a ton.
That's amazing. And Tone and Leon, you've gone to Tanzania together several times?
We have. Okay. This will be our third trip, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, when you're accepted in a African community, when they give you a name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Tone and I have both been given names.
Okay.
And we're from different tribes, though, right?
Correct.
Mine's from the Nakusa tribe, which is in southern Tanzania. And they call me, when I'm there, they call me Guamaka.
Okay.
Which is interesting because it's G-W-A-M-A-K-A. So they put interesting consonants together in their language that we would never put together. But it means God's power is with you. So it was quite an honor.
Oh, that's
when
so cool.
I received that name. And Tony, you want to share yours?
Yeah, mine is from Kigoma, which is in the northern part of Tanzania. My Tanzanian name is Mselepete, which means the joyful one or the one who brings joy.
That's incredible.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That they're that intentional about names. That names have meaning and significance.
I love that. That's amazing.
All right, Simone, same kind of question. I know you've been sitting there thinking about what you want to share, so jump
yeah.
in.
So when my parents were missionaries in Venezuela for 4 years, we received probably over 30 work and witness teams or short-term mission teams from the United States. So we were the hosts, hosting all the teams that came from all over the country to serve and develop the churches and advance the kingdom of God in that country. But when I became a pastor here in Kentucky, now I was the one leading a lot of short-term mission trips from the United States, going to Central America as a interpreter and also helping facilitate as a cultural broker, that kind of process of leading short-term mission trips. We went all over Central America, from Haiti to Dominican Republic and Guatemala, Nicaragua. I can't name all of them, but it was such a fun way to give now back what we had received in growing up. And now I was able to, you know, return as a guest. And so from being host, then I was a guest. And then I realized that really God is the host. He's the one inviting us all to the table to serve him, to advance the kingdom of God. And so it's been a very interesting dynamic, from learning what it means to host people, to receive from people, and then in that exchange, really recognize God's invitation for all of us to be servants wherever he sends us.
Wow. That's I love that perspective of God being the host, especially since you've been on both ends of that story, and to be able to recognize that we're kind of all in this together, right? Our name of our podcast, Faith Together, that's very intentional because this faith really is about not a bunch of individuals trying to live their lives for Jesus, but a community. Whatever community we find ourselves in of living out life together, that it's the only way for us to do it. So thank you for sharing that. That was a great conversation, and we hope it was helpful to you, but we're not finished yet. Be sure to join us next week for part two of our conversation as we explore practical ways that we can serve locally and globally. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and give you peace. You've been listening to the Faith Together podcast from the Center for Faith and Family at Olivet Nazarene University. Sign up for additional resources at centerff.com. When building faith, we are better together.